5 UTC right after the international news.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the 4th of July American Independence Day edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Americans are waving red, white, and blue flags on this holiday, and they're also waving flags for the U.S. women's national soccer team, which is bidding for an unprecedented third consecutive Women's World Cup title. The big tournament will kick off on July 20th in Australia and New Zealand. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports feature, VOA's Gwen Uden tells us more about the U.S. team. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The United States is home to the number one ranked women's soccer team in the world. And the two-time defending World Cup champions are on a mission to clinch the title for an historic three straight tournaments. Head coach Vlatko Andonovski announced the names of his 23-player squad, a roster led by soccer stars Megan Rapinoe and Alex Morgan, who are both set to compete in their fourth Women's World Cup. The two women joined their fellow teammates for a media day press conference in the U.S. state of California. And team forward Rapinoe told reporters she believes this year's tournament will be a game changer.
This World Cup feels almost like a, you know, show up and show out kind of vibe. I think it's going to be incredible. I said before, kind of paradigm shift globally. I mean, I think we're having it a lot in the U.S., but I think just globally, you've seen what's happened since last World Cup. There's so many examples of this, and it feels like this is like a paradigm shift or a moment we'll look back to and say like nothing was ever the same after this Women's World Cup and what we're going to be able to do. And All bets on the Women's World Cup. Money's in on that. I just think it's going to be an incredible event.
And Rapinoe adds that the upcoming soccer showcase could also launch global business opportunities for women's sports.
We've always taken the opportunity to show exactly who we are, not just our team, but the women's game in general. But it feels like a real opportunity to kind of like blow the lid off just in terms of fanfare and media and sponsorships and the sort of larger business around this sport. I think everyone is sort of hip to the game now and understands that this is, you know, not somewhere that's just like, oh, we should cheer for the Women's World Cup because that's the right thing to do. It's like, yeah, this is actually a terrible business move if you're not getting in on it, if you're not investing, if you're not putting resources to it, and if you're not tuning in, you're sort of missing out on a massive cultural moment in so many ways. I think we know that for bottom line, you know, equality is actually good in a shocking turn of events. Equality is actually good for business. And, you know, I think that that's something special that the women's game has. And this feels like, you know, the sort of premier event. I mean, it's the biggest women's sporting event in the world by far.
A FIFA decision guarantees each athlete at least $30,000 for competing in the upcoming Women's World Cup tournament. That figure includes players from the 16 teams that do not advance beyond the group stage. And members on the title-winning team will each receive $270,000. The prize money for the women's tournament totals $110 million, an increase of more than three times the prize pool in 2019. FIFA's groundbreaking move is a direct result of collective action that was taken in 2022 when the Global Soccer Players Union, FIFPro, drafted a letter calling for improved conditions and an increase in prize money for women's World Cup teams. That letter was signed by over 150 women's national team players and sent to FIFA President Gianni Infantino. USA World Cup veteran and team forward Alex Morgan also praised FIFA's new reforms.
FIFA has actually done
surprisingly, coming out of my mouth, a very good job at increasing the prize money. We still have a ways to go, but having them direct payments to the players is huge. I mean, it's a life-changing thing for some of these players entering the tournament. So coming away with each player making at least $30,000 is huge, because a lot of federations, usually that money goes to federations and those players don't see any or much of that money. With U.S. Soccer, we have in our contract equal prize money between the men and the women, which is a shared pot, and that's the only federation in the world that does that. So we're very happy that we fought for that and we're able to attain that. Now it's up to FIFA and the other federations to do their part, and I'm very pleased to see what FIFA has done, and I look forward to seeing more good news along the way, this World Cup and in future World Cups, as we narrow and eventually equalize the prize money.
FIFPro is now urging FIFA to enforce equal conditions for players taking part in qualification for the next Women's World Cup. The U.S. Women's National Team roster is an enticing mix of veterans and rookies going into this year's tournament. Five players, Megan Rapinoe, Alex Morgan, midfielder Julie Ertz, defender Kelly O'Hara, and goalkeeper Alyssa Nayer, were part of the championship team in 2015 and 2019. The squad features 14 new faces, including 21-year-old Trinity Rodman, who says she models her game after her famous father, former NBA champion Dennis Rodman. For the past few years, head coach Vlatko Andonovski has constructed his team into a lineup of talent that he says could clinch a record third straight World Cup title.
When we talk about World Cup, I don't think there's an athlete, or actually there is a soccer player or a coach that does not dream of a World Cup. If you're a soccer player, you dream to play in the World Cup. If you're a coach, you dream to coach. So it is a dream come true for me personally. And obviously myself, together with the staff, will do anything possible to help this team make history. We want to do it for the players. We want to do it for the team. We want to do it for the community. We want to do it for this country. We want to do something that has never been done before. We believe in the quality of the team. We believe in the support that we have, and we think that we have what it takes to make it possible.
The defending champion USA is a favorite to win it all in Australia and New Zealand, but Alex Morgan acknowledges her team will face some challenging competition on the road to the World Cup title.
I think it's tough for us to put even more target on our backs by saying we're a favorite or not. So, I mean, I think that at the end of the day, we already have a target on our back coming in as reigning World Cup champs. But there's some teams that have done incredibly well over the last 4 years, have made a name for themselves to compete for this trophy. And so I think I'm very optimistic with our chances with this roster. And I think that you guys can probably write a story from there and decide whether or not that you think we're favorites or not.
The United States have been drawn in Group E alongside the Netherlands, playoff winner Portugal, and World Cup debutants Vietnam. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. Meanwhile, Women's World Cup co-host Australia has named its 23-player roster. The head coach of the Matildas of Australia is the Swede, Tony Gustafsson.
These 23 players represent the Matilda family in a very, very unique way. I've said from day one that it takes 23 and 23, but it actually takes much more than that. So I also want to take the opportunity today to reach out and thank all the 224 Matildas that have represented this journey and wear this jersey, because they're all part of that. So when we step out on that field in that opening game against Ireland, the 23 players that are on the game roster is represented by 224 players. Every single tackle, every goal celebration, every potential adversity we face out there, we're going to be a team of 224 players.
Australia's head coach, Tony Gustafsson, selected team captain Sam Kerr, who will be competing in her fourth Women's World Cup.
Yeah, I'm very honored. Anytime you go to a World Cup, whether it's your first or your third or your fourth, it's an amazing feeling. Something you can never, ever take for granted, and I never will. But to do it on home soil is, I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for not many people. So I'm very, very honoured. And, yeah, every time I talk about it, I get kind of emotional because I'm like, I can't believe we're going to be hosting a Women's World Cup. When I started playing for the Matildas, I could have never dreamt of this. So I'm very honoured. I'm very excited and just want to get started.
Sam Kerr and the Matildas will get started on July 20th when they host Ireland in Sydney. Also in Australia's group is Canada and the Super Falcons of Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Randy Waldrum, coach of the Super Falcons of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the U.S. Supreme Court strikes down affirmative action programs for university admissions in the United States. Will those affected turn to the country's historically black colleges and universities? This week, we'll look at HBCUs, how they're breaking new ground and building new bridges between the United States and African countries. Join me, Haiti Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
In African men's football, Ivory Coast will host its second Africa Cup of Nations tournament in January 2024. The country previously hosted African football's premier event in 1984. That event featured 8 teams, while the next one will have 24. VOA's Peter Cloete asked Ivory Coast Sports Minister Paula Danho about the country's preparations.
Cote d'Ivoire is fully prepared to host this tournament. The government has invested a massive amount of $1 billion towards upgrading our sport infrastructure, accommodations, hospitals, airports, and roads across the country. This investment is not only in our economical capital, but extends other areas such as North Region in Korogo, Bike Region in Bouaké, our political capital, Yamoussoukro, and the primary cocoa spots of San Pedro. Additionally, we created 6 outstanding stadiums and 24 training fields that meet FIFA standards. The fields will then stay within schools, promoting sports for future generations. We are proud, very proud to host this event. And we are ready to show off all the work we have put in for this incoming tournament.
What would you say is the specific mechanisms that Cote d'Ivoire has put in place to ensure a successful tournament?
Well, we put in place several specific mechanisms to ensure that tournament is a success. First and foremost, we have taken all necessary measures to ensure the safety, the peace, the tranquility of all visitors during this event. We want everyone to come and to discover our country, our beautiful country, for tourism and culture, to be comfortable. We want to show you the great and best experience visiting Ivory Coast. Our president, His Excellency Alassane Ouattara, meets personally with all the federation, the boss of the federation, the Confederation of African Football Staff, to express them that we are very ready and you are proud to put a lot of investment to receive all the visitors. And the Prime Minister and me, myself, we are also strong leadership and involvement in all the best projects.
What's your vision for the sports sector in Côte d'Ivoire?
For us, sports represent a source of creation, well-being, and social cohesion. You know that we have the troubled past in my country. So sports serve as like cement to bring people together beyond their ethnicities, religions, and political beliefs. It unifies and channels the passion of young. So is a social dimension to consider. We want sport to contribute to improve the health and well-being of the population. Additionally, the economical impact of sport is critical for us. In fact, our ministry was before changed the name. And the name was the Ministry of Sports Promotion and Sports Economic Development. It's essential for us to promote sports, also to have a sport-like industry and economy. We have a lot of young people. You know that our people are very young. So you're actually seeking opportunity for young people. You want sport to provide employment, to provide opportunities. So you have to professionalize it, sports effectively. Currently, you know, sports talent are identified and exported to Europe, which means that we're selling muscle. We want them now to be in the country to contribute to creating add value so they can stay in our country. We want sport to be now source of wealth creation, job opportunities, to develop very benefic for them to taking a spot-like job, not to sell them Europe, to sell them. They want them to stay in our country so young people can benefit from sports economic inside of being exported abroad.
How do you plan to promote the less known sport? I know football is big in Côte d'Ivoire, but how do you plan to promote sports in general, the lesser known ones in Côte d'Ivoire?
To promote other sports in Côte d'Ivoire, we need to gain visibility. Now that we have achieved that, all the investments made for the African Cup of Nations will be used to promote other sports. The stadiums have been, will host major athletical meetings, top rugby competition, and many more events. We are always promoting other sports through our ambassadors. You know that you have a very good players like Didier Drogba, such as Marie-José Talou in track and field, and Sissé Cheikh in taekwondo, who are our outstanding champions. And you know that we have also hosted Judo Open, Golf Open, Basketball Champions ships in our country. In line with our ministry visions, we are following the national sport policy, a strategic 5-year plan that incorporates our strategic vision for the development and promotion of other Olympic sports. We cannot stop now. We will ensure that maintenance and use these facilities by hosting more considerable events and encouraging all sporting disciplines.
Any last words on the African Cup of Nations event? Your last words.
I would like to say that we are thrilled to host the African Cup of Nations and welcome over 2 million visitors and supporters from all the world. It's a very good, great honor for us to have Didier Drogba, like Didier Drogba is a good player, football player, and it is our ambassador. This event, you know, will be broadcasted in 180 countries through FIFA and CAF networks. Cote d'Ivoire is ready. Cote d'Ivoire is an attractive destination for everyone to enjoy. We are welcoming countries that are looking forward to host this event. We are being working hard to make sure that everything runs smoothly. And we are very, very much looking forward to delivering a memorable experience for everyone who comes to see our nice country.
That's Ivory Coast Sports Minister Paula Danho. And he spoke with VOA's Peter Cloti from Abidjan. Let's stay in Abidjan now. That's where Kwatara Fatigi, the vice president of the Ivory Coast Basketball Federation, spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye about preparations by the national men's team for the FIBA Basketball World Cup. The international basketball tournament will be held from August 25th to September 10th in three countries, Japan, Indonesia, and the Philippines. Fatigi spoke with Iron Mike through an interpreter, and we'll hear her responses now. The Ivorian basketball official says the country is delighted to qualify once again for the FIBA Basketball World Cup.
We are very happy because we worked on it long time ago, and we are satisfied to be there right now. This will be the fifth time Cote d'Ivoire is going to participate, and we are very, very happy.
How prepared is Cote d'Ivoire? Because the FIBA World Cup is in August.
That's the fact that we have a great basketball nation that we are going to play with. But we are also a respectable country, basketball country, and we are getting ready. We have started our preparation for this competition. We have started with the local players. And a few weeks, we are going to go to Europe, in France, Portugal, Serbia, a lot of countries in Europe, and make sure everything will be fine to the team to be ready to play this games.
In Africa, football is very popular, all over. How popular is the game of basketball in Cote d'Ivoire outside football?
So I'm going to surprise you, because we all know that football is opium of all the nations. But here in Cote d'Ivoire, our basketball federation, we are able to fill up this arena. And this is something that the football can do with the stadium that is called Stade du Champoux. And in Cote d'Ivoire, we are at the second spot, but we are fighting with the football for the first step. And we were the best federation this year.
What message does the federation have for Ivorian fans about the national team going to the World Cup?
Yeah, the message is very simple. I'm asking to all the Ivorians to be the ambassadors of the Ivorian flag. I'm calling all the Ivorians, starting by the first Ivorian, the President of the Republic, Mr. Alassane Draman Ouattara, so that support us a lot. We need a lot of support from any all the Ivorians to come and support us, to go to Jakarta and bring the flag at the top of the level.
That's an interpreter for Kwatara Fatigi, the vice president of the Ivory Coast Basketball Federation, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Abidjan. Ivory Coast has been drawn in Group G for the FIBA Basketball World Cup, along with Iran, Spain, and Brazil. The Ivorians will play the Spaniards August 26th at the Indonesia Arena in Jakarta in the opening game for both teams.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Tennis. It's day two at the prestigious Wimbledon tournament in England. On day one, a top American women's player was an upset victim, as we hear now from the AP's Graham Agars.
Former Australian Open champion Sophia Cannon has pulled off the biggest upset of day one at Wimbledon, dumping seven-seeded fellow American Coco Gauff in a two-hour, three-set battle. Cannon, once world number four, had to qualify for the championship this year as she builds her comeback from injuries. The 24-year-old joins fellow American Jessica Pegula in the women's second round. Michael Moe made the most of his last-minute lucky loser entry, upsetting the 11th seed Felix Auger-Aliassime, and the seven-time champion Novak Djokovic overcame a rain delay and a slippery court to post an easy first-up win.
Novak Djokovic, the defending champion, takes to the court, in my view, the greatest player of all time on the men's side. To a man going for his fifth straight title and his eighth Wimbledon.
It doesn't get much better than Wimbledon, really, in terms of history and tradition of our sport. And I've said it many times throughout my career, coming to Wimbledon was always the dream. To win it, childhood dream came true in 2011, and you know each year I come back. I try to not take any match, any minute that I spend on the court here for granted, and I'm definitely blessed. So it's a wonderful feeling to be here.
Serbian tennis star Novak Djokovic, who is bidding for his record-extending 24th major title at Wimbledon. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the 4th of July American Independence Day edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news. Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week for the 5-minute VOA newscast. We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from across the world. Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com. On this 4th of July, American Independence Day holiday, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to former American tennis star Pam Shriver. Pam was born on July 4th, 1962, in Baltimore, Maryland. During her playing career, Pam won 21 pro singles titles, 111 women's doubles titles, and one mixed doubles title. She and regular doubles partner Martina Navratilova are the only women's pair to complete the Grand Slam in a calendar year. Pam also won an Olympic gold medal in women's doubles at the 1988 Seoul Olympics. Happy 61st birthday, Pam Shriver. And that wraps up the 4th of July American Independence Day edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.